Sunday Mean Sports Cards at the Palm Beach Kennel Club, South Florida's premier sports card and memorabilia event, the PBKC Sports Card Show, live from the second floor of the legendary Palm Beach Kennel Club.
I'll tell you, man, at every point it feels like, and with every topic, every debate in America, it feels like there's always two Americas, and that maybe that sentiment is not much more explained than what we talk about right now in March Madness when we have this game that's coming up tonight at 5 between UNC and St. Peter's, because it could mean something special, and it also could mean something historic. And which side of the fence you come on that, that's going to tell me everything I need to know about you. What is happening? It's Theo Dorsey alongside Jay Mark. We're on the second floor here at the PBKC for the Sports Card and Memorabilia Show, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. You know, this is how we kick it the last Sunday of every month here. More than 60 vendors. All of these tables out here, we see cards, sports memorabilia. I saw a D-Wade jersey earlier, Jay Martin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I love that. As a Heat guy, I love that we got the Wade jersey out here. I'm sure it's worth more than I got in my pocket right here. But I'm excited about this. We'll get to that main
topic. How much
topic.
You got in your pocket? I got some D-Wade stuff.
You got some D-Wade stuff?
Yeah.
Well,
depending on how much you got in your pocket.
Well, you know, we'll discuss that a little later. You know, I don't want to tell them on the air because then some guys out here might know and they're going to try to hustle me on the back end.
Well, I'm trying on it right now. So
you're ruining my negotiation tactics if I tell you how much I got in my pocket, you know.
But I guess that's fair.
But no, man. So what's happening right now in March Madness and the clash that's going to go on, and of course – the second game of the day is what I'm talking about, number 8 seed UNC versus 15 seed St. Peter's. The first game of the day I'm pretty excited about as well. You got the Miami Hurricanes going up against Kansas, a 10 seed versus a 1 seed. And the Canes, you know, South Florida, we're here in South Florida. A lot of people don't care as much, but I think if the Canes get in the Final Four, we might see a lot more energy around that program and around the Final Four from guys. Like, have you heard anybody talking about Miami right now?
No, yeah. but that's the nature of the University of Miami sports.
Right, right.
You have to realize that Miami is very different than a Florida or a Florida State. It's not a public university. It's a tiny private university.
And Coral Gables, of all places.
Exactly. Yeah. 99.9% of their fan base are not alums, which is obviously
like
wonderful.
Like myself.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a wonderful thing, but with it comes less loyalty, just inherently. So you really don't see the Canes love as much unless they are just destroying.
Yeah.
And they're not really a basketball school.
Exactly. So it only happens when it matters at the highest level. So I think people might wake up when they get to the Final Four. But I don't even want to talk about that matchup today, which is the first one of the day at around 2. I want to get to St. Peter's versus UNC tonight, because I think this game, you have to pick a side, right? You have to pick a side because not just we have a 15 seed in St. Peter's that might be the first 15 seed to ever make the Final Four in what was maybe one of the best Cinderella runs I've seen in a while when you talk about some of those teams we knocked off, or not we, they knocked off. You see where I'm going. You see I'm caught up in the hype already with St. Peter's. And on the other side of the fence, you have a UNC team. Hubert Davis,
yep.
First year of Hubert Davis on the UNC sidelines, but really that doesn't even matter. Nobody cares about what the Tar Heels have going on this year. What they care about is if UNC takes out St. Peter's, which they're favored to do so. St. Peter's, again, a team that came from up out of obscurity. We're going to have Duke UNC in the Final Four in New Orleans in Coach K's final dance, and it's not just the fact that it's his arch rival. It's not just the fact that it's, again, his last go-round. It's the fact that UNC was that same team that gave Duke that wake-up call. Back in Coach K's last game in Cameron Indoor Stadium, in his final run, when they had it against the Tar Heels, it was set up. They were almost double-digit favorites to just knock off UNC, a team that looked like they were out of it, a team that people were wondering, like, do they have enough juice to even make the tournament at this point because their season looked dead and done, and the Tar Heels go into Durham, knock off Coach K in his final game at his home. That was his last chance, Jay Mark, to call an ATO in Cameron Indoor Stadium. His last time to make a late game adjustment, a late game substitution to win in front of that home crowd. Remember, tickets were like $10,000
yeah.
just to get in the door. and the UNC Tar Heels, his arch rival, upset him. He has a chance now at redemption. So I think half of the nation right now is rooting for Coach K's chance at redemption, a chance to knock off UNC in the Final Four, make the national championship, and put a huge bow on what is his final dance. And the other half of the nation, of course, like myself, is wrapped up in this St. Peter's team. This team from Jersey City, the first team from the New York City area to make the Sweet 16 since Seton Hall did it in 2000, when they were starred by Shaheen Holloway, the current coach of St. Peter's. A team that won, they're the Peacocks, and won on National Peacock Day of all days to upset Purdue to get to the Elite Eight. I mean, it is incredible. It is beyond what you could imagine from a Hollywood script what St. Peter's has done. That's why I'm on that side of the fence. It's two Americas right now, J-Mart. I'm on the side of St. Peter's. I want to see St. Peter's get into the Final Four, continue this historic run, and potentially upset Duke, too. You don't know. But I know a lot of people want to see what UNC has to offer. J-Mart, where do you stand on what side of the fence are you on and what you want to see happen tonight at 5?
So if those are the two Americas, I think I'm in Mexico because I don't fall on either one of those sides.
You gotta pick. You can't. You gotta pick a side.
Well, let me explain to you why I don't fall on either one of those sides, my friend. No matter who was in this game, it's a 15-8. At this point, I am never going to pick the 15, and I'll tell you why. Because I love March Madness. I love upsets, but there always comes a time when the rubber meets the road, and I don't want it to be in the Final Four when this team is like, oh, that's why. Like, they've looked like a two seed this whole time, but now we see that, okay.
So you don't want it to ruin your Final Four. That's what
right, exactly. So I am not a big – I love the underdogs until you get to the meat of it. Then I want to see the best teams in the country.
Yeah.
North Carolina, I do want them to win, but I want them to win to spoil Coach K's last year in college basketball. So I'm not in either one of those Americas, my friend. I'm rooting against everybody.
You know what? I like the chaos you're drawing up here. As a guy that is an agent of chaos myself, I appreciate what you're doing there, J-Mart. So what you're saying is you want UNC to win tonight, but you want them to also double down and beat Duke again.
Yes,
so
that's really exactly what I want.
Because to be honest with you, that might be a huge – like, again, Coach K's legacy is already set in stone. He's already everybody has
that
to
that might
say
be the one thing
the
that gets him
coaches.
Back. That could get him back.
Look. That might be – look, Duke fans maybe should be rooting for that to get Coach K to come back for one more year.
I guess that's fair.
I don't think it would be an opportunity for him, number one. But also, I don't think it could be something he could walk out on, getting beat twice by UNC on the huge stage when the ticket prices are going to be through the roof. Because if you think Duke UNC's ticket prices for his last game in Cameron Indoor were going to be expensive, imagine –
but
New
Coach
Orleans.
K doesn't care about ticket prices.
I'm just saying the stage. I'm saying about how big the stage is. You know, of course he doesn't care about ticket prices.
That's
but
fair.
That's a good gauge for us of, okay, how much do people care about this? Because he gives a damn.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you think that loss at home, where afterwards he had to get on the loudspeaker and tell the fans it was unacceptable, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you think that was bad, imagine losing like that to a UNC team that isn't that good.
I'm trying to imagine it, Theo.
You love it.
I got my eyes closed. I'm on a beach imagining Coach K drowning in his sorrowful tears.
Oh, man. Well, you know what?
That's mean. I'm sorry.
You
I
picked the side that I didn't even think was there, which I love, though, and I can appreciate that. But I want to know where everybody else stands on this. Are you rooting for St. Peter's to pull the upset again, to continue the Cinderella run against UNC and make it to the Final Four to potentially go up against Duke and do something bad? Or are you rooting for a team like UNC to actually win and beat St. Peter's and make it to the Final Four, and then Coach K gets his shot at redemption? Because right now, we already know the whole March Madness stage, the NCAA men's tournament is all stationed around, all swinging on the pendulum of, this is Coach K's final dance, a guy that was hired in 1980 and that continues his legacy through this year. And maybe the next game he coaches will be his last. 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776, or you can tweet at us at Theo Dorsey TV and tell me, which side of the fence are you on? Are you in the side of America I'm on that's rooting for these Peacocks, these guys who are just – I love the way they play the game of basketball. I love the post-game interviews from Shaheen Holloway, as well as I just like a little bit of chaos myself in the fact that this 15 seed took out Kentucky in round one, which – I mean, that ruined my bracket, too.
Yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
that was the one loss you had
that
in
was
your bracket,
the
right?
The only one.
Because you went perfect in round one aside from that.
That's exactly right.
So that's why you're hating a little bit.
I'm doing the
and then we're going to get more going on that. You know what we'll do, J-Mart? We're having a little trouble, a little technical difficulties with audio here, and I'm sure the same technical difficulties that you want Duke to have in the Final Four we're having right here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to figure that out. Right now we're live on the second floor of the PBKC, and we are going to be right back here on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the second floor of the legendary Palm Beach Kennel Club, the PBKC Sports Card Show.
It looks like we made a slight trade. I don't know if it's a trade up or a trade down, but here I am, Theo Dorsey, here on the second floor of the PBKC Sports Card and Memorabilia Show. We're having a good time. J-Mart taking a quick breather right here, and we're going to sub in for him, Pat Rooney, who you all know and love. And we're going to and I want to pick your brain right quick, because I asked J-Mart before the break. We're talking about who is or what side of the fence you are. I feel like there's two Americas right now, Pat. We have the guys who or guys and gals who want to see a Cinderella run in St. Peter's continue tonight. At 5 o'clock, we're going to have a big game tip-off, St. Peter's UNC, 15 seed, 8 seed. And there's two sides. Either you want to see the Cinderella story march on to the Final Four in an unprecedented run, or you want to see Coach K get a shot at redemption, because UNC would be on the other side there, and they'd be able to face them in the Final Four. And you know what happened at Cameron Indoor Stadium. You saw how upset Coach K was after the Tar Heels, his arch rivals, kind of ruined his final home game. So for you, personally, which side are you on? Do you want to see St. Peter's and Shaheen Holloway make this run, or do you want to see UNC step in and maybe, you know, give Coach K another shot at getting some redemption there?
Well, first of all, it's a definite trade down for me.
Oh, man.
J-Mart.
You're too kind.
But second, I went to Clemson, so I hate both UNC and Duke pretty much equally. So I wish they could both lose if that's possible. But if that's not possible, yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm rooting for St. Pete because, you know, no one's ever been heard of this team before this year.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're, you know, one win away from going to the Final Four. But it would be a cool game, I think, for Duke and UNC. It would be even cooler if they were playing the championship game, but this is the way the brackets are. So I think that would be an awesome game, considering that UNC got whipped by Duke at home the first game, and then comes back in, just like you said, almost in an unprecedented way. Anytime a coach is, like, it's his last game or her last game at home, I saw the stats. It's like almost every one of those great coaches won that game, except Coach K.
Yeah.
So it's bizarre that they lost that game. UNC's playing really well, though. They're playing good. The last month of the year, they've turned it on. So I wouldn't count that as like Duke going in there and what you're talking about. Listen, if you go into Cameron and beat them in that situation, you can certainly beat them in this game. So I don't think it's going to be any kind of a cakewalk, and UNC is not going to feel like, oh, we got to lay down for Duke to that will be a battle. That'll be probably one of the best games if that happens of all the, you know, the whole tournament.
Right, right. And I had some dealer's remorse here, some buyer's remorse here ringing you on. So I want to get J-Mart back into the discussion.
Yeah.
J-Mart, can we get a quick test on the mic, see if you're good there?
Yeah, man.
Oh, it sounds like he's back.
I hope I'm here.
He's good and ready.
I hear me.
So for both of y'all, I mean, it sounds like Pat, he's a Clemson guy, and I always wonder what side of the fence ACC guys are on, because even if you're a NC State guy or whatever, whenever you ask them about that Duke-UNC rivalry, they're always just like, you know what, throw it in the trash. I don't care about it.
I don't.
Let's stop talking about
way.
It.
I'm the same way. I hate both of them.
Yeah, and I'm a Miami guy. I'm a Miami guy, and it's more so football with us, so we don't, you know, on the basketball side, we're free-ranging.
I am not a fan of either. I do particularly hate Duke more.
Who doesn't hate Duke? Who doesn't hate Duke? It's so easy.
But the gravity of the situation is what I want to – I do want to see it happen, at least. What I was telling Theo is that if those are the two Americas, I must be in Mexico, because I don't want to see the underdog. Like, you've probably had this conversation with Evan a million times, because he feels the same way. These 15 seeds are great for a couple of games, but when you really get to where the rubber meets the road, you don't want a 15 playing a 2. I mean, obviously, UNC is a powerhouse and as an 8, but eventually, they're going to get walloped. They're going to show why they're a 15 seed at some point, most likely. That's what's always happened.
It has always happened, yeah.
I mean, so, they were 12-11 at one point, so they've gone on a 10-game winning streak here to do what they're doing. But you're right, John. I mean, they play in Jersey City, and you know they don't really have a gym. Their gym's next to like classrooms. They have to keep it down when they're working out, so they don't. It's a very, very small school. So yeah, I would be shocked. You know what's funny, real quick, guys? You look at the tournament every year. It's like, oh, we have all these upsets, but then when you get to the Final Four, it's usually number two seeds, number one seed. If Kansas wins, you're going to have 1-1. Two twos and probably, you know, maybe you're going to have an eight. So the cream of the crop still seems to rise when we get to the Final Four.
And that eight is UNC. Like, it's not a typical eight.
Right.
So you're right about that. And generally, when we get to that stage, we get what we want. We'll see what we get in New Orleans. We know so far we have Duke, who beat Arkansas yesterday. We know so far we have Nova, who got over the hump against, you know, I'm a Houstonian. So I don't want to say my Houston Cougars because I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan, but I wanted that for the city last night.
You also said my about St. Peter.
You know what? Like my. I'm a guy that, you know, I get wrapped up in these sports stories, man. I get wrapped up in these. Shaheen Holloway's a guy that it's hard not to root for, though, when you look at what he's done with that program. But also, you know, you start to learn more about the guy. You learn that he was in the McDonald's All-American game with Kobe Bryant on his team, and Shaheen Holloway was the MVP of that game. Like, that dude is a guy that continues to impress, and we'll see where he coaches next year. We just know it's going to be for at least, you know, it'll be millions. I'm not sure what he's making at St. Peter's right now. You talked about their gym situation.
It's not millions.
Yeah, I'm sure it's I'm sure he's not eating like
he's
lobster every night.
Teacher salary probably.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But for one thing, we know he's going to be making a lot of money wherever he goes next year. A lot of people are rumoring it to be Seton Hall, his alma mater. But no, I'm definitely on the side of St. Peter's. I want to see them go. J-Mart just wants some chaos.
Yeah. So to finish my thought, I'm rooting against St. Peter's because I want to see them lose. But also, by default, I want to see UNC winning that. But then I want to see them spoil the dreams of Coach K and the Duke fans. So, yeah, I'll have to – yeah, whatever. North Carolina is not insufferable to me, so, you know. Whatever.
That could happen, John. I mean, like I said, a team that has the mental capability to go into Cameron in that situation and beat them,
they
can do it again. Trust me.
They definitely can. And I think that might have been the best thing to happen for that Duke team because the stakes were so high. I think it might have woken up, especially some of those young guys, Pablo Banchero, who really, I mean, you look at that guy on the court. I mean, looking at him last night against Arkansas, I'm like, get this dude in the league right now. 6'10 guy, moves like a guard, you know, his stroke is really pretty, and then also he defends, he rebounds. Like, I love what Duke has. Again, I want to see St. Peter. I kind of want to see St. Peter's make the national championship game, but that's just me. I know it won't happen. We'll see what happens tonight at 5. I also want to see my Miami Hurricanes, since I'm taking possession of every single team.
No, wait.
I want to see – they're on the other side. I can root for both.
Miami Hurricanes? How many teams are yours?
You know what? That's not that. We're at the sports card memorabilia show, right?
What's your alma mater?
How many different trading cards do you have?
Oh, I got
stock.
A bunch.
I bought stock in these teams.
All right,
they're mine. If you have multiple trading cards, right, you're able to root for different teams, different players. That's how I feel right now.
But these are my cards, not my teams or my players.
Like, but you feel that way. You have to get – if you don't get wrapped up in it, who will?
Right. No, you're 100% right.
Give it unmitigated support, and that's what I'm trying to do here, man. But no, for real. I think it'll be something the size of it. Again, this won't affect Coach K's legacy. It's the funny part about all of this is nobody really cares about Hubert Brown, who's doing a great job with UNC right now, and everything about this and even UNC coming back to Duke is all about Coach K. This is Hubie Brown's first year at UNC. He has a shot at a national championship. Oh, Hubie, I keep calling him Hubie Brown. What?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Hubert Davis. Yeah. Look, that's why UNC needs to get bounced tonight, right? So then we won't have to talk about it anymore anyways. But, no, I think it's interesting. And call in. Tell me what side of the fence you're on. Do you want to see a St. Peter's run continue? Or are you like J-Mart, you want to see them get ruined, UNC make it, and then we get a Duke-UNC matchup in the Final Four? 888-760-3776. That's the number to call into the show. 888-760-3776. Another thing to stick in theme here that I wanted to get to today was, I don't know, how much have you been paying attention to this NFL offseason, Pat?
Well, I mean, for once, the Steelers have actually been pretty active in free agency. They're almost never active. This year, we've had some money to, and we need a lot of help. So I've been paying attention to it more than normal just because the Steelers have been somewhat active in it. So, but, man, oh, man, there's a lot going on. I mean, the Tariq Hill thing, there's a lot of stuff happening just before the draft that I would have expected some teams after the draft, they're like, hey, we didn't get a receiver, we didn't get a safety or whatever, to then have, you know, some trades and stuff. But they're doing it before the draft. So it's been very interesting, I think.
Yeah, Jimbo, what about yourself? Because I think this is potentially, especially once the draft actually happens, because it's great you bring that up.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to the draft where a lot of movement and shaking happens in the NFL. This might be one of the most turning point off seasons, including the Brady stuff, the Rodgers stuff, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm not Tyreek Hill that just happened for the Dolphins. Like, this is so much shakeup, J-Bar. How much have you been kind of locked in with the changes?
So, I mean, I've been paying attention, but it's hard for me. It's so much that it's hard for me to actually wrap my mind around what these teams all actually look like right now.
Yeah.
It's almost like I'm almost going to need to be able to look at and digest finalized rosters after the draft to even be able to know what's happening. It's so much. But it's going to be exciting. Like,
yeah,
we could definitely see, like, a completely different NFL and different powerhouse teams next year. I'm really – because we're talking about a lot of big-time quarterbacks,
yeah,
moving.
Wholesale
crazy.
Changes. Yeah.
I think you can make the argument this has probably been the most active offseason in the NFL history. The shift – the balance of power is completely in the AFC now. There's – with all these quarterbacks moving to the AFC and a lot of the – you know, the trades that are happening that are bolstering AFC teams. If you're in the AFC West and the AFC North, those divisions are powerhouses now with the quarterback situations that they have. Now, you still have Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. But the NFC is really wide. I think it's completely wide open. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes out of the AFC versus whoever comes out of the NFC and what that matchup's ultimately going to be like in the Super Bowl.
And I'm glad you said it, because it gives it a little more gravitas when you say that this is the biggest offseason of change in the NFL. I wanted to say it, but it don't come as – I don't got enough gray hairs yet. Like, people aren't going to believe
it.
Wow,
you just called him old.
I thought
you were talking about, like –
I'm saying he's got more experience with it. He's closer to the league. Like, all of that. But also, he's seen more
– to old.
That's all right.
I mean, me too. I've just
– y'all have seen more NFL offseasons. It's always whack when, like, the 19-year-old kid is like, wow, well, this is the biggest thing to ever happen. It's like, okay, dude,
yeah,
you've seen,
fair,
like, five things happen. So I felt that way, but I'm glad you said it, and I'm glad J-Mart agrees, because now it validates my feelings that it is one of the biggest shakeups and offseasons in NFL history.
I don't remember anything, like, close to this. Like, I literally don't know what the league is going to look like next year.
It feels like the NBA.
And I think you made a good point, John. It's hard to visualize what all this is, because so much has happened that you forget, like, Russell Wilson's now with the Broncos. So, like,
right,
when the Seahawks play, you're going to be like, what happened to Russell? Oh, yeah, he's with the Broncos.
Exactly.
You have to see it now to start being like, all right, what does this mean for the Broncos or Seattle? Or, you're right. It's just so bizarre, like, how many guys have changed teams, and I still think there's going to be a couple more probably, you know, mind-blowing moves either up to the draft or right after the draft when teams don't get who they want. And then you're going to have the June 1st cuts, and you're going to have guys that are real good players that are going to get cut because they don't want to, you know, get their bonuses and all that from the team. So
yeah,
there's still more to come, which is even more,
yeah,
shocking.
And I think,
yeah,
Bobby Wagner's still a free agent, right? Like, guys like Melvin Gordon, running back still. So there's going to be a lot of pivotal moves that some contenders and also some middling teams are going to make. How do you feel? I got to ask you, Pat, because you're tied in with the Steelers, mm-hmm, obviously. Mitch Trubisky coming in at quarterback, there's been mixed feelings around that. I think it was kind of a smart play because, I mean, at least you're not the Washington Commanders going and trading assets to get a guy like Carson Wentz, who we kind of know the book on. Carson Wentz is 29 years old at this point. People are acting like he's 1 year out of the draft. We kind of know what Carson Wentz is. Mitch Trubisky, a guy that can move around a little bit, something that Mike Tomlin was saying he wanted. What's the feeling around that now in the Steelers organization?
Well, I think the Steelers are obviously happy to get him under the contract that they got him and not have to give up any draft capital. I'm sure that's how they feel. I can't completely speak for them.
Yeah.
If you're asking me as a Steeler fan, I would have liked to have gotten somebody a little bit with more pedigree, but again, you're not going to give up what Cleveland gave up to get Deshaun Watson, as,
yeah,
much as I liked him. You're not going to give up, you know, probably what the Commanders gave to get Carson Wentz. So it's one of those. If I could get like Baker Mayfield, or if I could get somebody, you know, that I
he's think available,
that's a little bit more of an upgrade than Mitch. I probably would like that, because here's my thing. I think Mitch is good for probably two or three more wins than you would get with just Mason Rudolph. But where does that get you? That gets you, you know, 7, 8, 9 wins. You're back drafting 20th again. You're not going to do anything in the playoffs. I hate sounding like a guy, because I never want to tank. When you get into that losing mode, it's hard as an organization to get out of that. But if you're going to try to win, I don't know if Mitch is going to get you to the Super Bowl, and that's your ultimate goal. So do you just go with Mason Rudolph, see what he can do? I'm not a huge fan of his, but do you go that route and then say, all right, next year with much more quarterback-heavy draft than this year, and then hope you can pluck one of those guys? Yeah. My whole point is, I don't know if Mitch gets you anything more than a couple more wins than what you got last year, and is that going to do anything in the playoffs? I don't think so.
Well,
so
it's a really tricky offseason to be at, because there are teams that they're willing to leverage the future of their organization to get a quarterback, and that's not how the Steelers operate. But to be in a market for, you know, a Roethlisberger sort of level replacement kind of guy, that's what you have to do right now. And the Steelers don't do that. So it's a weird – you're right. You kind of have to – it's almost like a holdover.
My thing, John, is you have to realistically look at our number one, the division. That's who you're playing. You're playing those teams twice.
Yeah, it's rough.
That division's a killer. You got Lamar Jackson. Now you got Deshaun Watson, and you got Joe Burrow. You're not competing with those guys with Mitch Trubisky. Yeah. Or virtually – you know, if you want to bring Russell Wilson in, I think you could compete with him at least for a few years. But, again, do you want to give up the capital to get him? We have massive problems on the offensive line, inside linebacker, you know, D-backs. We got problems on now we have no receivers. Half our receivers signed with other teams. So, you know, it's not just bringing a quarterback in and snapping your fingers and like, okay, problems are solved. That is the focal point of every team, though, and it's a quarterback-driven league, and you've got to have a really good to super quarterback to be able to even have a chance to get in the Super Bowl. But first of all, you got to look at that division, and now you got to look at the whole AFC, which I just talked about. Mm. How are you going to compete with the AFC West? That's another bizarre division with unbelievable quarterback play. So my whole point is, you know, maybe look to draft a guy who's going to take a few years probably to develop. Maybe by that time some of these other guys are getting old or they've gone to other teams, and then you compete. Then you look for 5 years from now. I know it's very difficult as a fan to do that.
But 5 years from now.
3 to 5 years, we're building. We build the lines. We build all those positions I told you about. Get the quarterback, let him start learning, and then try and attack something. It's going to be very difficult next year to compete in that division with Mitch Trubisky, and that's nothing against him. He could be a really good player.
Yep.
But I'm just looking at what I've got in front of me, and man, that's a difficult road to hoe.
It's a great stopgap, though, and you're right about that. The bigger problem, I think, for the Steelers is looking forward to the next 5 years, because you look forward to the next 5 years. Deshaun Watson's 26 right now. Joe Burrow is like, what, 23, 24 right now? Like, he's still young. He's in his
Lamar Jackson's going into his third year. Too.
Lamar really Jackson's young. About 25, and he's a former MVP at this point. Like, you're really dealing with a bloodbath in that division. And you look across to the AFC West, like you said, that's a whole nother level of quarterbacks who have really proven themselves in the playoffs. And then you got the AFC East that, you know, you still have Josh Allen. You still have Bill Belichick and the Bills. Like, I mean, in the Patriots. Like, this right now in the AFC, like you said, like, I don't know. I wouldn't know who to put my money on to win a Super Bowl next year, but I can tell you one thing. I wouldn't pick a team in the NFC.
No, I mean, listen, Aaron Rodgers, great player. Tom Brady, obviously, you can't say anything bad about him. But I think those two guys, they're probably going to end up, you know, at least right now on paper, they're probably going to end up in the NFC Championship, and they can give whoever the AFC is probably a game.
Yeah.
But if something happens to those two teams, there's nobody else out there in the NFC that would scare me right now if I'm in the AFC.
And Rodgers lost his top two receivers in Devontae Adams and MVS. So, like, right now, again, what are you really expecting out of those Packers unless you're just expecting him to have another MVP-type season with – no real weapons, and it's a lot of turmoil on that side of the field or that side of the fence. In the
NFC. That's an interesting one, Aaron Rodgers.
What is he going to be?
Well, I mean, he does it again in terms of taking so much money, which is fine, but you do to some degree hamstring the organization as to what they are, yeah. can do, but then you also have these massive expectations of who they can bring in. Like, you know, there's got to be a little, unless Rodgers, unless he's ready to step up and do it.
Do, you know what I mean? Though? Because who's he throwing the ball to is my problem. Like, right now, I have a hard time picking them. Like, obviously, they're in a pretty easily winnable division. I mean, the Lions and the Vikings.
You know what the truth is, though? Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. Like, you throw a dude out there. If he's on the, if he's made the roster, they're going to make him a star. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, like, Brandon Stokely is not the world's greatest athlete. But if he lines up with Peyton Manning, he's going to catch a lot of balls and catch some touchdowns.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? It's going to be a force.
I got you on that. I got you on that. Well, the reason why I brought up this NFL offseason, I'm glad we can dip into that, is I wanted to get to what was kind of pivotal and it ties into today and why we're here on the second floor of the PBKC. Who are the top five guys you should be investing in? Top five NFL players that I want to get their rookie cards this offseason so that this upcoming season, when they do break out and when their stock goes through the roof, you know, I have the equity right now. Like, I'm only making money off of these guys. I want to get to that. I have my list. J-Mart, you have your list, right?
Got it.
Of course he has it. This guy's prepared.
Tons of crap going on in here.
As he jots down 1 through 5 on his paper.
Consult my notes.
Pat, I know you don't have yours right now because you just came and took a seat with us. We'll give those after the break. That'll give us all time to digest, think about it a little bit, and we'll tell you who you need to maybe rush over here to the PBKC, come to the second floor, and buy, because we have more than 60 vendors here today. I see so much action. I see Bill Scullies. I see some Bills fans. I see Heat fans. I see a lot of trading cards being moved. I see a lot of wagering and negotiating. You got until 4 o'clock to get here to the PBKC, Palm Beach Kennel Club. Free parking. We got drinks. We got beverage. We got food. And we got chances for you to get locked in on some of these guys where you can buy a trading card now, maybe for $10. Maybe it's worth $50 once the NFL season kicks off next week. But for now, he's Pat Rooney. Jay March next to me. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're on the second floor of the PBKC, and we're live on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the second floor of the legendary Palm Beach Kennel Club, the PBKC Sports Card Show.
Man, I know if you're last minute like myself, you probably haven't got your Easter day plans going. And you know what? Sometimes Easter's the most overlooked holiday. I feel like it doesn't get enough love, but you know who does show it love? The Palm Beach Kennel Club. Because here at the PBKC, if you haven't made plans yet, well, I got something to tip you off on. From 10 to 2 p.m., April 17th, that's Easter this year, you got a chance to take part in the Easter Brunch Buffet here. Family fun for everybody. You can take a photo with Ace the Easter Bunny. I haven't taken a photo with an Easter Bunny in a while here. And you got music by Phil Fest. I can't remember the last time I took a picture next to an Easter Bunny for reservations.
That's not any Easter. That's Ace the Easter Bunny.
So it's got to be the number one Easter Bunny in town, the biggest show in
Florida.
He's
basically our poker bear, but he puts Easter bunny ears on. So I don't know if it would count, Theo, as a true Easter Bunny because it's a bear. But
it's a bear with bunny ears. All right. Well, even more interesting, this story develops as I find more out about this Easter brunch buffet.
The food is delicious, though.
Yeah. So buffet with the family. You get to take a photo with a bear bunny.
Yeah.
Ace the bear bunny. And
like he ate the bunny. So
well, that will be an interesting story to tell for those kids, those 5-year-old kids that get to take a picture with Ace. Kids under 3 eat free. Kids ages 4 through 12, a little under $25, and then $49.95 for adults. Reservations, you can call 561-683-2222, extension 199. We're here on the second floor of the Palm Beach Kennel Club right now. The voices you hear, that's Pat Rooney. We got J Mart, and it's myself, Theo Dorsey, here as we always do on the last Sunday of the month, because it is the sports card trading and memorabilia show, and we have more than 60 vendors. Everybody's dishing cards around left and right, making deals, probably some tough negotiations going on right now, similar to that Dolphins-Chiefs trade that happened where we got Tyreek Hill coming in. And in the words of Tyreek Hill, he's like, hey, man, bump them picks, because the Chiefs decided we were going to get rid of Hill, and the Dolphins were like, we're going to leverage the future or a bit of it to get a guy like Tyreek Hill. And that's what I want to talk about right now, because people have time to come here to the second floor up until 4 o'clock. It's free parking. They can come check out the trading card show. They can get their hands on some of these cards. I'm going to tell you right now, I got my top five list of guys that you need to say bump those picks or really – bump that tax money you just got in your pocket to come and pick up and invest in these guys because they're going to take off in this upcoming NFL season. J-Mart has his list as well. And how do you want to do this? Because, Pat, you're going to be the judge of it.
I'll be the arbiter.
You'll be the arbiter. Yeah. You'll let us know which list is better to invest in.
I want you to go first.
With all five of them.
Steal if there's any ideas or names that
John
I can
wins.
Steal.
Yeah.
Look, John wins. That was the best strategy. That was the best strategy. Because you also get to see Pat's face. His face, like his reaction to my names. Like, so I'll run through my five, and I'll give a quick reason why on a couple of them because it might confuse you. My number one, and of course this is a quarterback-driven league, I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. My reason is going to be simple. Urban Meyer is gone. I don't give a damn what else has happened in Jacksonville. Urban Meyer is gone. Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent. That's what everybody's been telling me since he was in high school. I watched a couple of his high school games and covered it when I was in South Georgia. Trevor Lawrence's stock will never be as low as it is right now. If you buy in this NFL offseason to his rookie card, it can only get better from here, especially this upcoming year with the Jaguars when you got a guy like Doug Peterson who's won a Super Bowl. That's number one. Number two, I got Elijah Moore, receiver for the Jets. I didn't want to go all quarterback here. My reason for that, heck, second-year receiver, you never know, right? You throw a couple bucks on him, his price can't be too high right now, right, J-Mart?
Right, that's right.
Coming off a rookie year where he was injured, he has a chance to probably break out. If he wasn't injured and he played all of his game, he was projected at about 1,300 yards. Invest in Elijah Moore, guy out of Ole Miss. He's a playmaker. Check him out. Number three, Rashad Bateman, wide receiver, second-year guy for the Ravens. You talked about Lamar Jackson a little bit before earlier with me, I guess, during the break.
Yep.
I think Bateman can be that number one guy for him. He came into camp last year hurt. This year he's not going to be hurt. Hopefully he'll have a healthy offseason. He'll learn more of the offense. He has a chance to break out and be that guy that can help Lamar get back to the MVP level. That's number three. Number four, I like second-year running back. And, again, I told y'all, I cheated a bit. I picked all second-year guys. It's easy to pick a breakout guy when you're going with guys that just came off a rookie season. I'm going with Javonte Williams for the Denver Broncos. Javonte Williams is in a backfield now where not only does he have the talent, he has the opportunity because Melvin Gordon's a free agent right now. The Broncos might bring him back. They might not. They also have Russell Wilson at quarterback. Better offense, more scoring opportunity. Javonte Williams is a guy you want to look out for. And my last guy, it might shock some, it might make some happy, Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Dolphins. Right now, everybody's talking about how the team is building up for Teddy Bridgewater to take over because Tua might lose his job. Also, right now, the Dolphins have invested so much with going and getting Tyreek Hill, having Jalen Waddle, having Mike Gesicki. In the backfield, they went and got Raheem Mostert. You got a new head coach now in Mike McDaniel. You have a chance right now as the Miami Dolphins organization with Tua still being a young guy. If he can just get the ball to those playmakers that make big plays, he can break out. And what I'll say with this one, that one comes with a caveat. I wouldn't hold Tua. What I would do is I would buy him this offseason. 8 weeks in when he's like got 23 touchdowns and 5 picks and the Dolphins are 6-2, sell. Get out of there because I don't know where look, he's fragile. He's small. He's a guy that doesn't have the biggest arm, so I don't know where it'll go, but I know his stock will be low this offseason. It'll take off, and then Teddy Bridgewater might end up taking over. What you got, J. Martin?
Okay, all right. So I love two of yours.
Yeah.
Tua being one of them.
Okay.
Because I have Tua Tagovailoa on my list as well because I agree. And I don't know how high a ceiling is. I'm not telling you that Tua is going to be some amazing quarterback. But in terms from a value perspective, I do believe that his stock is lower.
Yeah.
It's
you can get him at a good price right now.
Buy, and you're giving him all kinds of weapons and protection that he's never had before. So to me, that's almost a no-brainer. I definitely think that's a good one. The other one that you had that I love is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And he's sort of an honorable mention on my list, and that's.
Did he just make that honorable mention after my list came out?
No. I was definitely thinking the only reason I didn't put him on my list, and I think it might be a stupid reason, is just that his value is still pretty strong right now.
It is
already.
Okay.
Yeah. So even the rough season, because he's so young, and because people realize like what he is and what he can be, you can get a decent buy, and I agree with your sentiment that it's probably lower than it'll ever be.
Yeah, going forward, yeah.
But it's still kind of high. The guys, and I'm when you're talking about cards and value and investing, which are the words that we were talking about, you're not going to get me to say anything other than quarterbacks.
Okay.
So the guys that I think that are worth investing in that are going to keep going up, Josh Allen, they have a
monster. So you think it can get higher?
Team. I do think that Josh Allen can get higher because I don't think that team is going to get worse. I think that team is great, and I think they're young. All of their stars are super young. The other guy is Lamar Jackson. People have always slept on Lamar Jackson. It doesn't matter if he wins the Heisman. It doesn't matter if he wins an MVP. People always sleep on Lamar Jackson, and they're continuing to do so. So even though his prices are significant, like all these guys on my list are actually, aside from Tua, have significant prices already.
Yeah.
But I think they're all
keep it going up.
Going to keep moving up. Yeah. So Lamar Jackson, I think he's great, exciting. Same with this next guy, Kyler Murray. I think that he had such a great, like halfway through this season, I thought he was going to be MVP of the league.
Right. A lot of people did.
And I think he's that caliber of player. I think we'll see him have those kinds of runs again. So I think Kyler Murray will be there again, and he's pretty low right now. And the other guy who's not low, who I still think is worth it, is Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is that guy.
Wow.
I
so
really,
you're buying. You're still buying after a Super Bowl appearance. You're buying.
Absolutely, right. Bro. I think he is great. I think he really is great and continuing on the upswing. I'm a big Joe Burrow guy.
So Pat, you heard the top fives.
All right. Well, listen. Here's where I'm going to give Jay Mart some credit. It is a quarterback, as you just said, it's a quarterback-driven league. And most of these guys, teams can't win if your quarterback's just average or below average, unless you have the 2000 Raven defense, which most teams don't.
Yeah,
you're not going to win the Super Bowl, and that's the whole goal here: is what teams can get to that to at least be in the discussion of Super Bowl. So I'm going to agree with John at least on the theoretical that it's quarterback. But I think you've done more research. Two of those guys I've never even heard of. So I'm going to give you the win here, Jared, just because I've heard of Elijah Moore, but I didn't really even realize that he was out all last year or hurt. Bateman, I do agree with you on him. He's too good to be sort of forgotten about or whatever happened to him last year. He should step up. He's again. That depends on Lamar getting the ball to him and all that kind of stuff. And Williams, the running back in Denver, a great point with him. With a really nothing against Drew Lock, but with a really good quarterback, then guys can't key on running backs or receivers. They don't know who to key on. That opens all that kind of stuff up. So I think just from that perspective, I think I'm going to give it to you. But the one thing, I'm not saying I'm disagreeing with you guys. I think Tua has a tremendous amount of pressure on him this year, a tremendous amount. Actually getting Tariq, I think, I'm not going to say it hurts the team. The guy's an unbelievable talent. But now you're saying to Tua at this point, you got to win now. You got to do something. Yeah. We got literally one of the best receivers, fastest receivers in the league. You got to find a way to do it. And I don't know. Maybe that's a good philosophy to have. You got to find out if you've got it with this guy or not. I know the Dolphins did a lot of playing around with trying to get Watson and seeing if he was available and that kind of stuff. How does that affect you mentally? I don't know. Now it's like, you're still here, so we're going to go with you.
Yeah.
So Tua's really got to find that inner strength to be like, I got to figure out a way to get to elevate my level. Can he do it? I don't know. That's the question I have. I love the guy. I think he's got a lot of talent, but hasn't shown me that he's able to get to that next level. But if he don't do it this year with those weapons, he ain't going to do it.
And that's what I think similarly about Tua. I think he's shown it in spurts, and he has that mental fortitude. I mean, remember, he went through this a lot at Alabama when it was Hurts or Tua. And then he went through it in his rookie season. Then he went through it, with Ryan Fitzpatrick and then with Jacoby Brissett, and now it's Teddy Bridgewater. This is a guy, if there's any guy that could be adjusted to this situation, it's weird to say that because he's that young, it's Tua. He's done it with – now this will be his fourth quarterback where it's like, will he be the starter or will he not? I think Tua would get off to a good start. I don't know why. I just feel like there's good juju around Miami sports and whatnot. What's up?
If what you say is accurate, then – like, so Pat, it could be a good strategy then to invest now and do exactly what. If you think he could have a couple of good games, then that could be an immediate sales opportunity potentially.
Absolutely, and that's you're going to find out what kind of player really this kid is, because just what you said, Theo, he's gone through somewhat similar circumstance before, but I think the pressure for lack of a better term, has really been ratcheted up with the acquisition of Hill. And in a way, I applaud the Dolphins for saying, hey, we're going to give you an unbelievable asset, but now you got to get the ball to him. And if he doesn't, if he's not able to do that, boy.
By the way, new coach, too.
New coach.
Different voice.
Same thing.
Who says he believes in him, right, that's been preaching his praises all offseason so far.
Now, if I'm a competitor like Tua, I'm welcoming all this. Yeah, like, thank absolutely. God. Let's bring it. And so you're right. Let's see how they start. You know, the team ended up really well last year. Came from 1-7 and should have made the playoffs. But they got a new coach, and a bunch of things have changed. But sometimes teams do carry that momentum from one year to another, and maybe the Dolphins are believing in themselves.
They are, and then also you got a team like the Jets. You get to play twice a year. The Patriots, I would be afraid of with Tua because of Bill Belichick and his ability to find out and kind
they're
of
always
like
always dangerous.
Yeah. But Tua has beaten the Patriots. He's shown that ability to do so true. Far. And with a guy like Tyreek Hill, with the left tackle and Armstead that they brought in, I do think there's a shot. I think he has a shot at having a great start. And then again, when the going is good, they're 8-2. I'm selling. I'm out of there.
Damn, that's good drop philosophy.
drop it immediately. We didn't even get a chance as we wrap up here on the second floor of the PBKC for the Sports Card Trading Memorabilia Show. We didn't get a chance to touch on the Miami Heat. I do want to say, can I say one brief thing
crazy,
for Heat fans?
Yeah.
On a 4-game losing streak, our coach was out last night. We had
where
Chris
was
Clinton.
He at? What was going on there?
Apparently, one of his sons had a medical procedure or something.
It was a surgery. His son had a surgery.
Look, all right. I just want to say this one thing to Heat fans like myself as we get ready to part ways. Breathe easily. All right? There's no need to worry. I think we're going to be fine. We're still the 2 seed in the East right now. I get all these skeptical faces right now.
It's Jimmy, bro.
I think
it's Jimmy.
I think that this is
I hope
perfect.
He's okay.
Jimmy's going to be all right. I think this is perfect. The playoffs start April 16th. The playoffs start April 16th. It's now March 27th. You have time to figure things out between now and then. It's good to have this hiccup now, just like Duke had at Cameron Indoor Stadium at the end of the season.
I hope.
Straighten up. Get ready for the playoffs. Don't worry. Don't sweat it, right?
I was always worried about Jimmy Butler and his attitude, and then he's been great with the Heat, and then you see this, and I'm like, I hope it's not Jimmy being Jimmy.
It's not.
I hope that's an anomaly.
Breathe,
I hope he can get over it.
Breathe. We're going to continue to breathe and see what the Heat do.
I'm not on his side, though. I'm with UD and Spo all day, every day.
I get it. It's Heat culture. That's what we do. You still got time. Come out here to the second floor of the PBKC for the Sports Car Trading and Memorabilia Show. You can get yourself some cards that we talked about, some of our top five. Tua is a card we said go and buy on. He's Pat Rooney. He is Jay Mart. I'm Theo Dorsey. We were live on the second floor of the PBKC on ESPN 106.3.